You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host for this Locked On Grizzlies podcast, Mark King. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at King_producer, and make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. If you have a question, make sure you email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Today on the show, we have site manager for Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullenix, coming up in the third segment. In the first segment, we'll talk a little bit more about the Raptors loss, just some overall Grizzlies talk. In that second segment, though, we'll do our rookie update, something we always do in the Thursday segment of the second segment of the Thursday show. As always, in the last segment of our Thursday show, every Thursday will be site manager Joe Mullenix for Grizzly Bear Blues. But let's get right to it. I just want to talk about a little bit about the Grizzlies itself. I think the Grizzlies are okay. I don't think it's time to panic. I don't think it's time that we should be yelling for Jevin Carter for sure. Do we want to see what Jevin Carter has to offer? Sure. Is Jevin Carter going to be the end-all, be-all answer to this team? No. He's not going to be the one that comes in and saves this team and puts them back on the right track. You know, would you like to see Jevin Carter maybe get a look? Sure. Maybe that's an idea that you want to see. But I largely don't think it's something that will have an impact one way or the other, to be quite honest. I mean, it's a guy in Jevin Carter who is averaging 22 points in the G League on 18 shots, against guys who probably aren't very good. So I think one day he'll probably get a chance, but I don't think that's probably going to happen anytime soon. I think it seems like Shelvin Mack's pretty cemented in that backup role. I've seen some people say you could play three point guards there. I don't know if we want to get a look at Jevin, if JB Bickerstaff's even going to let that even happen. So just something that I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So I'd say, it's probably useless to continue to yell for it. But crazier things have happened, and he might try for a change, especially if they lose this game to the Nets, which they have coming up on the Friday. They might offer a change, but I don't think Jevin Carter is going to be the answer. I think the Grizzlies really, even in that Raptors loss, I didn't really talk about it yesterday, but I think that Raptors loss is more about the Raptors than it was about the Grizzlies. I think that Raptors team was just really they're really just that good. I mean, you saw them in the second half. We talked about this. Their defense was really, really good. I mean, they did things that they really rushed the Grizzlies. They did things that the Grizzlies really hadn't seen on defense. The Grizzlies really, and once that happened, the Grizzlies really shut down and went to back to their pick and roll, which, they think is their bread and butter, which it generally is Mike and Mark is your pick and roll, as it generally is. But there's, one or two possessions out there where literally all they did was Mike and Mark ran a pick and roll. It didn't work, one or two times. They would reset the pick, do it again, try to get what they wanted, and just really, ended up with a bad shot against the shot clock. So, the Grizzlies really, I think they have to figure out the offense at the end of the game. You've seen several games now where they've been in the game. They've had chances. They really need to figure out the offense, and it needs to be something different than Mike and Mark pick and roll. There has to be something else you can do besides a Mike and Mark pick and roll. And I understand, yes, you want to put the ball in your best player's hands at the end of the game. That's great. But there has to be something else besides a Mike and Mark pick and roll that you can do at the end of a game in crunch time that can get you generate better offense than what you saw against the Raptors. That's where I think I probably have an issue with it. Yes, I want Mike to have a chance to score the basketball. I want Mark to have a chance to score the basketball. Those are your best players. But at the same time, if you're going to telegraph exactly what you're going to do, make it easier to scheme for, then you're probably going to be more unsuccessful more times than you are successful because of the way they're playing you. So, I think there's something, you have to do something at the end of that game to just change it a little bit. You just run some actions, do something other than just set up with Mike, give him the ball and say, here you go. But we'll see. We'll see against Friday. They come up with having a game against the Nets, and we'll preview that game on Friday. We'll talk extensively about that game. Trying to get a Nets writer to join me for that podcast as well, so that we can get really kind of give a better idea about this Nets team and see what the Grizzlies can do. I think the Grizzlies should. That's a game they should win. I think if you and if you lose it, if you win that Knicks game against Sunday against the if you win that game against the Knicks on Sunday, I don't think this is a, I don't think we're having this big of a discussion about what's happening right now, because I always thought they were going to lose that game to the Raptors anyway. I thought it was like more of a scheduled loss. So I think if you lose, if you win that game against the Knicks and you lose against the Raptors and you win against the Nets, that's just something that just is happens. That just seems normal. But since there's three losses in a row, of course, when you lose that many in a row, people are going to have opinions on just about everything. So we'll talk about more about the Nets game on Friday tomorrow, and then we'll hopefully get a Nets writer and talk extensively about the Nets team and figure out what we can do. So, but coming up next, we'll, in our next segment, we will have a rookie update. We'll talk where Jaren Jackson Jr. ranks on against other rookies, where he stacks up in different categories against other rookies in the league this week. And then in the last segment, again, we will talk with site manager for Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullins, coming up after the break. Welcome back to the show. As always, we will do our Thursday segment, third segment every Thursday. We'll talk with Joe Mullins of Grizzly Bear Blues. But this segment, let's do our rookie update with Jaren Jackson Jr. Coming in, and let's just talk points per game right now. Points per game, he's averaging 12.7. That's good for fifth in among all rookies. And minutes played, this is a stat that's probably doesn't surprise you, but it's actually 25. He's had some games in the past few games that have not been good. He only had 19 minutes against the Raptors. But minutes played, 25 minutes, and that's seventh in the NBA. Let's look at rebounds. This is a little bit more, a category that you I thought would be a little higher, but it's 4.5. That's good for seventh right now in among rookies. It's just a stat I thought would be higher, but it's just not. Assist will be pretty low. We could look at them. I don't think it'll matter, but it's 1.4, which is actually 13th among all rookies. Higher than I thought it was going to be. Total points is 253 so far this year. That's good for seventh in the NBA. Blocks, he actually leads the rookies at 42 total blocks. He leads all rookies with that. Steals, he actually has 20 steals and is second among all rookies, right behind Mikal Bridges, which is a stat that I thought was a little higher than I thought it was going to be. So that's impressive for Jaren Jackson. Again, 20 steals, second among all rookies. Assist is actually 28, and it's good for ninth, and that's ninth among all rookies. Something that, again, a little higher than you think it was going to be. You think a Jaren Jackson would be a lot lower than ninth in rookies and assists, but there he is sitting with 28. So that's better than you thought it would be for sure. And the last category we'll look at is total rebounds. And that is, for Jaren, is 89. And that comes in at seventh. That's seventh among all rookies. So, gives you a little better idea what Jaren's doing. I mean, he's Jaren again has 20 steals that is steal categories, assist categories higher than you really think it should be or it could be. Again, second among all rookies in steals. He's right where he should be in points, probably maybe a little higher. You might want to see him get a little more minutes. It's, obviously we've talked about extensively featuring him a little bit more on the offense would be ideal. He has to start rebounding the ball better as well. If he really, this team needs rebounding, that's something he'll have to start doing better. But really, you'd really like to see that 12.7 points per game go up to, somewhere around 14 or 15 and really get more involved in the offense. But coming up next in our third segment, we'll have a conversation with site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullinex. Welcome back to the show. I just want to say thanks again for Joe Mullinex joining me today to talk Grizzlies. Again, the site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. Let's take a listen to that conversation now. Welcome back to the show. Our Thursday segment for the last segment in the show every Thursday, site manager with Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullinex. Thanks for joining me, man.
Not a problem, buddy. Thanks for having me as always. It's great to be on the show, and you're doing a great job as you make it your own here these first few weeks of you doing it. I've enjoyed listening, and I'm happy for you, man. We talk about the GBB bump, Grizzly Bear Blues. You're one of the guys doing big things, so I'm happy for you, and I'm happy to be on the show.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about the Grizzlies. They're on a three-game losing streak. They lose to the Raptors on Tuesday night.
Do you think this was a game, and I didn't say this on the podcast, but I think it is a largely – I don't think this game was a result of the Grizzlies. More so, I think it was a result of the Raptors being really, really good. Do you think that's the case, or do you think this was something the Grizzlies threw away?
I think it was a case of the Raptors being really good at doing what they do and the Grizzlies not being able to match it, you know, more than you've seen in the past. The Grizzlies have bought in, and you know, the national media jumps on when the Grizzlies are good all of a sudden. You see articles and people pointing out the obvious that, you know, the Grizzlies are zagging when everyone else is zigging. Everybody loves to say that. But if you're not able to zag when the other team wants to zig, and you have to zig with the team that has more talent than you, you're going to lose more often than not. And that's what happened in the Toronto game. The Grizzlies were not able to sustain that level of play that Toronto has proven, at least through the first quarter of the season, they are able to sustain that level of play. The Raptors are one of the deepest teams in the league. They're obviously led by a superstar in Kawhi Leonard, an all-star in Kyle Lowry. They're a damn good basketball team. And I think that in order for Memphis to beat those teams, they're going to have to force teams like the Raptors, the Warriors, you know, everybody who has more talent than them, they're going to have to force them to play their style of game. They can't compete playing that up-tempo style, at least for a full four quarters. Maybe for a quarter here or there, you can make some shots, but that's just not how Memphis is going to have success. They got away from that in that game, and it wasn't sustainable. Them losing that lead was one of the least surprising things I think I've seen. And obviously it's a larger issue, them losing leads. Over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, McCarty Maxwell wrote about that for the blog as we record this on a Wednesday. He had that up on the blog today. You know, he's a guy that points out, you know, some things that aren't necessarily the friendliest to see, but I think that's important. You have to understand where this team is and what they are. They can't run and gun and play that style of game, and if they do, they're going to have real issues sustaining their success that they've had this early part of the year. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I know I've talked about this on the show the past probably the three or four shows and the scoring for this team. And we talked about secondary scoring on the show a lot, but it's actually something they got a lot of in that Raptors game. They got enough. But in this Raptors game and the Knicks game, we saw it late where honestly, the offense was, there wasn't much to it other than give Mike Conley the ball and hope for the best. You wrote an article on Grizzly Bear Blues about, you know, Mike Conley needs help, but what do the Grizzlies need to do in that last, you know, crunch time offense? I mean, because you can't just give it to Mike and just let him do and just say, hey, go out there and do something. You saw it in the Knicks game where they knew exactly what Mike was doing. They were rotating before Mike was even starting his drive to the lane for him forcing passes. But what do you think the Grizzlies need to do in that last crunch time to be able to get over that hump and score these basketballs to win games?
Well, first off, the swing and miss on Chandler Parsons, this is where that hurts you a lot, because Parsons was supposed to be that guy. They spent money for him to be that guy, and he's obviously not that guy. So in fairness to the Garrett Temples of the world and other players like that, they're being asked to do, when they're in those spots, things that they shouldn't have to do. That's not what they're paid to do. That's not their job. And yet they're trying to replicate, a guy that doesn't exist anymore in the aggregate. And that's, again, they can't do it. So they have to find a way to, and I mentioned in the article, you know, Karen Jackson Jr., when he's able to stay on the floor. And I understand that he's young, obviously, he makes mistakes. But the most obvious example for internal improvement is the 19-year-old who just turned 19 2 months ago, who has amazing defensive ability, clearly already. Offensively, he's further along than most people, myself included, gave him credit for. To me, he's the most obvious candidate for improvement within. Now, obviously, Dylan Brooks, the Grizzlies gave a medical report update recently. Sounds like he's probably 2 to 4 weeks away from the return. So hopefully in December, by the end of the year, they'll have Dylan Brooks back in the fold. But it's not like Dylan Brooks is going to save you either. You know what I mean? So the kid with the highest upside in terms of offensive potential is Jaren Jackson Jr. So to me, he's a guy that you continue to invest in. If he has 5 fouls and there's 5 minutes left in the game, get him back out there. If he fouls out, so be it. You got Jermichael Green, at least for now. You've got other guys that can fill those minutes. Omri Caspi's done some good things. You got to let this kid try to learn through on the fly and make those mistakes. Otherwise, he's not going to grow. So to me, that's the most obvious candidate for internal improvement. And then externally, you know, I've written about it a couple of times now over at grizzlybearblues.com. There are options that will likely be available via trade that can make Memphis better and can give a second scorer. I think that Kent Bazemore is realistic from Atlanta. I think that Evan Fournier is the pipe dream. You probably would have to include a first-round pick to get Fournier in addition to the expiring contracts of Jermichael Green and Jarrett Temple. And I'm not supporting that idea. I'm just saying that might be what it takes to get Fournier. But a player like Bazemore, a player like Tim Hardaway Jr. from New York, you know, the Knicks want to be players in free agency, man. They want to try to find a way to lure Kevin Durant, Kemba Walker. They're trying to find a piece or a way to free up enough cap space to bring in two max players if they can. And the Hardaway Jr. contract, obviously, if you move off of that, it allows for you to have a little more flexibility if you're in New York in the summer of 2019. It's a lost season for you anyway, since you have Porzingis coming back from the ACL injury. And it allows for Memphis to improve in the here and now. You might be able to get somebody like Hardaway Jr. for a little bit cheaper than you would have otherwise, because it's a summer, or a team like the Knicks, right place, right time, might value the cap space that comes with it, because Hardaway Jr. is obviously under contract for next year. Again, mentioning Chandler Parsons hurts to bring it up, but the Grizzlies have over 70-some million dollars, almost $80 million, invested in three players. So they're going to be cap-strapped again, and that doesn't include, obviously, Kyle Anderson's MLE, a lot of different money, obviously Jaren Jackson Jr.'s money going up. So if you're going to be cap-strapped anyway and you're not going to be able to fully use free agency and the cap space that would come available to you through Jarrett Temple and Jermichael Green's contracts expiring, why not try to turn those into an asset that can help you maximize a little bit that Marc Gasol, Mike Conley window, while at the same time not costing you your future, not mortgaging your future, like a two first-round draft pick for Bradley Beal kind of thing. You're not having to do that. You can still kind of have your cake and eat it too, to an extent, with those kinds of players. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think it's an internal thing with Jaren, and I think if you can find the right trade, obviously New York, that's assuming New York is interested in that kind of thing. To me, it makes sense, but, you know, there's lots of people out there that think the things that make sense to me don't make a ton of sense. So it's one of those spots where, to me, the Knicks, it would be logical for them to take on some expiring deals, try to lure a couple of guys to come play for David Fizdale and alongside Kristaps Porzingis, and Memphis could benefit from that.
Yeah, we've mentioned it a lot on this show, as I'm sure you know. A secondary scoring is something the Grizzlies have to get, and I said the same thing that you said, that, you know, Jarrett Temple and Shelvin Mack are good on this team because of the structure and environment of the team. They're good because the people around them are good. You know what I mean? They're right. Good because that's what makes them good. But you cannot have Jarrett Temple out there trying to break someone down in the last minutes and trying to shoot a three over somebody. That's just not – that is not what they're designed to do. I personally love Jarrett Temple. I like Shelvin Mack. I think they're great on this team, but they're great because of the dynamic of the team. Looking forward towards the schedule, Grizzlies coming up on Friday have the Nets. You think that they get back on tracking against the Nets, but just looking towards December – it does not get any easier for this Grizzlies team. They have 15 games in December. I'd say most of the games are against playoff caliber teams. They play the Lakers twice, the Trailblazers twice. They play the Warriors, the Rockets twice, the Celtics. I mean, just a lot of teams that are already probably slated or in that Western Conference or Eastern Conference playoff run there. How do you consider December a success?
I consider a success if they go 500 or a little bit worse, to be honest with you. And I'm not going to make many fans among Grizzlies fans with this opinion, but my take all along, and I've been on other podcasts and I've been fortunate to be on radio shows, everywhere where I've been asked my opinion on this, a successful season to me includes the following. You convey the pick this year, the first round pick that's owed to Boston. You send that out now. That means you need to be above the top eight, I believe it is, in terms of protection. So as long as you're outside of the top eight of the draft, you send that pick to Boston. So it makes sense for them to try to be as good as they can. It looks like they're well on their way to doing that. So that's option one, or the first thing, excuse me. Second thing, I want to see them be more entertaining to watch. Last year was such a drag at the end because you knew what was happening. You were a fan of the team, or in my case, you, in your case, you cover the team. And you watch the games, and good Lord, it was sad to watch some of the basketball that was being trotted out there in March and April. And it paid off in Jaren Jackson Jr. you have this 19-year-old phenom who's fun to watch. Marcus All and Mike Conley are good at basketball again. You mentioned Garrett Temple and Shelvin Mack. I don't mean it as an insult to them that they're being asked to do more than they can. That's not their fault. It's the same thing with Andrew Harrison starting so many games and playing so many minutes. It's the same thing as, you know, in the past, you know, players playing outside of their roles because of the contracts that have been signed, like the Chandler Parsons deal. It just kind of is what it is, and that's not sustainable. So if they're able to be entertaining, if they're able to convey that pick and be competitive, and they're doing all of those things. So if they come out of December, you said they have 15 games. So if they come out of December, and again, they're, let's say they go 6-9, okay, there's going to be Grizzlies fans screaming that the sky is falling. I'm going to say that they're what? If they're 6-9, that would put them at 18-17. They're a 500 basketball team. Compared to what they were last year, I'm doing backflips. Like, they're entertaining. They're playing a tough schedule, obviously. They play in the Western Conference, which is loaded. You have to be realistic with what this team is working with. And I think that they're doing the best that they can with what they got. And if they aren't going to be able to make a move, like I mentioned, for a Tim Hardaway Jr., a Bazemore, obviously Kyle Korver just got traded, so he's kind of off the market. You know, if you're not able to get one of those types of players, then you are going to be what you kind of are. It just is what it is. And as they cool off a little bit, they're probably going to hover around 500. And to me, that's a win because the pick is going to the Celtics. They're competitive and they're fun to watch. So to me, I wouldn't be surprised if they hovered around 500. Like I said, 6-9 wouldn't be shocking. And again, knowing this team, you watch them against the good teams and they look different than the ones that aren't so good. And maybe they go 9-6 and they do some things that you don't expect them to do. None of that would shock me. But if you're asking me what I expect, I think that they're going to cool off a little bit. I think they played above their heads at times. And unless they get continued development from young players like Jaren Jackson, or unless they make a move, you know, Mike Conley can't do this by himself. Marc Gasol can't do it by himself. There has to be consistent contributions from everyone. And I just don't see that being possible given, again, the Chandler Parsons thing is a big deal. To me, that is a huge hole in this team. And I'm not knocking the front office because I said they should do it. I liked the signing when it happened. But you take your lumps and your licks, and it just didn't work out. And now you're dealt with what is left. And what is left is a flawed basketball team. And they're trying to make the best of it. Coaching staff should be credited. The front office should be credited. And the players should be credited. You can't judge this team that went 22-60 the year before and say if they don't make the playoffs, they're a failure. I just think that's completely outer worldly, at least in my opinion. I'm enjoying watching them. I think as long as they hover around that 500 mark, I had them at 39 wins this year. They do that, I'm pleased, and they are moving in the right direction, at least in terms of developing young players, not giving up massive amounts for immediate help in terms of draft picks, and their future can start once they send that pick to Boston.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on the money with a lot of that. I think we talked to, this is actually one of our Monday mailbag questions, and about the future schedule. And I think I put them right at about 7 wins for December, 7 or 8, which would have put them, I think, around 20-21 wins for the season, which I think is fine. I mean, you look up and I think that's probably better than I thought that would be at this point, you know, or at that point in the season. So I think, like you said, you can hover around 500 for the month of December. I think that's a win. I mean, if you get anything above a 500, I think you're ecstatic at that point, especially against some of the teams that you play. But in this last question, I'll get you out of here. Do you think that at this point, do you think the Grizzlies are a playoff team?
I mean, at this point, they are. Technically, they're in the hunt.
Well, I mean, at the end of the year, do you think they'll be in the playoffs? I guess that's a better question.
I got to stand by my prediction. You know, I'm kind of the call me at Christmas guy. That's my bit on Twitter. You know, let me know what they are looking like around the end of this year. Right now, they're showing that they're kind of regressing back. And I think they're going to be a team that will be 500. I think that you probably need 44 or 45 wins to sneak in at the bottom of the Western Conference. They're going to have to do some pretty special stuff, at least in my opinion, to get to that point. Now, again, that won't make them a failure. I can't stress that enough to your listeners, Mark. I will be excited if this team is a 500 basketball team. You have to look at where they were. you have to look at how much uncertainty there was a few years ago with Marc Gasol's injury, and then obviously with Parsons signing debacle. Mike Conley had major issues health-wise. So many concerns this time, you know, 9 months ago. And now they're at a place where they seem healthier. They have a direction. I'm happy with where they are. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm being negative. To me, they're overachieving right now. And that, again, a testament to the players, a testament to the coaches. You do the best you can with what you got in the situation you're in. And I think the front office did that in the offseason. And I think the Grizzlies are doing that now. Is that good enough to make the playoffs in a Western Conference where LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, you know, Damian Lillard, all these teams that are so good and have so much talent, the Pelicans, you know, there's a ton of examples, names that I'm obvious ones that I'm leaving off the list, I'm sure, just in my conversation here. There's just so much ability in the West that, you know, I think they'll be in the mix until about April. I'm not trying to say that they won't, but I just don't think to say that they're going to be a playoff team to me is a real stretch at this point. To say that they're going to completely fall off the cliff and only win 30 games, I think that's also absurd. I think you're looking at a team that is right around that 500 mark. And if some things go well for them and they get hot, you know, you find a way to sneak out 44 wins, you make the playoffs. I think that's possible. But I think it's more likely than not at this stage that they miss if current trends continue.
Yeah, I think that I think I have said in the past couple episodes, I still think they'll be a playoff team. I think there are some teams at the bottom, the bottom of the Western standings that are going to fall off. But you're right. This team is on such thin ice that there's such a fine line for success with this team that either way, and this team just falls right out of the playoffs. So I think there's a lot, you know, that teeters on Mike and Mark, and obviously the scoring. So this team is very easily can fall straight to the bottom of the standings very quickly with an injury. So I think right now, I think they're a playoff team, but that remains to be seen, and we'll see as they go throughout the season. Again, Joe Monix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, I appreciate you joining me. We'll do this again next week, man.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Again, thanks, Joe, for joining me on the show. We'll do it again next week. Every Thursday, third segment, we will have Joe on to talk Grizzlies and get his thoughts on where the Grizzlies are at, what they need to be, and where they need to go. Again, make sure you're following the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. If you want to ask questions, make sure you email us at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. If you'd like to be a featured sponsor on the show, please email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, or online at LockedOnGrizzlies.com.